It's time to step outside your comfort zone and check your reservations at the door. This is Crossing Borders, a show to help you provide a response for your hope and faith in light of the culture around us. Now live from the studios of WDCX, it's Crossing Borders with Michael O'Hara and Mick Curtis.
Hey, and welcome to Crossing Borders. I'm Michael O'Hara.
And I'm Mick Curtis. Hey, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. We are not in the studio, obviously, because Christmas was yesterday, and we are taking the whole weekend off. But we went through the trouble of recording a special edition for you to listen to.
And I just want to say ahead of time, I hope your Christmas was excellent. I hope you had lots of time to spend with family. And if you didn't have time to spend with family, I hope you had time to reflect on truly just what is at the bottom of this, the reason for the season.
So you still have the rest of the weekend to really fill out your Christmas, but we're really glad that you tuned in to listen to this edition of Crossing Borders. You know, we're the last week of the year. This is the 26th, and then next week we're going to do the same thing. We're going to take 2 weeks and recap what's happened over 2015 with our show, Crossing Borders.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before amongst ourselves. This year has actually been a really challenging year, not in the sense that we struggle to get to where we need to be, but in the sense that it was a challenge to my own sense of God's presence and my own sense of God's purpose. You know, when we talk about things like our Christianity, when we talk about things like our faith, my preference, and I've said this before to you, Michael, my preference is to kind of focus on the ethereal, you know, the things that are far
off.
Hey,
what did I tell you about using big words?
The things that we've been talking about, the idea of stretching your faith beyond the borders of your church, beyond your personal borders, beyond your comfort zone. Man, that really has been the theme of this year for me.
You know, this show has really been an experiment. I mean, it's been very tight. It's been very linear. It's been very narrow in our approach, and it stuck right to our mission. And our mission was to challenge, equip, and encourage our listeners to step outside of their personal borders and be the salt and light God has called us to be, and engage the culture around us. And any topic that didn't really fit that didn't really make it into our program.
Yeah, and there were a bunch that we really kind of wanted to do, but just didn't seem to work for the mission.
And you know what? That experiment really paid off, because we really saw, as much planning and prayer and thought that we give in and trying to craft this show, we really felt God's leading through all of this. And I think maybe we'll talk about that in a minute. But that first show, January 10th, 2015, we really just took that whole show to lay the groundwork and say what our mission was.
Right. We laid out our mission statement in it, and really just laid out the premise of what we were going to try to accomplish with all this. And I think staying within that mission statement, it's been tough, but it's been worthwhile, because I think as we look at stretching ourselves into the community around us and into the lives of the people around us, challenging is really the light side of the word. It's, you know, a comfort zone has been demolished a few times.
Yeah, for sure. You know what? I mean, it was refining. It was like you're on a grinding wheel. And they say the grinding wheel of the Lord grinds slow, but it grinds fine.
Exceedingly fine.
Yeah, really. And I think it has purified us and brought us to a bigger understanding of what the gospel is.
Well, you've said it a couple of times. You've called it a more holistic view.
I guess
of the gospel.
Yeah, I guess those are good words to use. You know, it's a little bit, to really put it in the words is a little bit difficult, and it's more than what you can say in 15 seconds. But it is this fuller approach to the gospel and what it really means. You know, in our mission statement, we brought out the scripture that says, you are in the world, but not of it. And we talked about that scripture, about how so many preach that scripture and say that, look, you're supposed to be godly and not be like the world. And that's true. You are in the world, but you're not of the world. And we stop right there to use that as a proof text to say, see, we should keep ourselves within a Christian bubble and protect ourselves from the world. And we leave out the very next verse that says, but I have sent you into the world. We are called to be on mission for Jesus Christ.
Well, in just as importantly, on mission, but not isolationary, not creating this holy huddle where we hide behind the walls of our church and wait for Jesus to come back.
Right.
You know,
right. I mean, we are supposed to be salt and light in this world. The only way that salt, preserving meat from rotting, the only way that we can actually be active in that is to rub up against the meat. So we have to engage the ever-changing culture around us.
Right. The first show we talked about that. And even the second show we talked with Dan Rogge from the Milton Church.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit about how his church is responding to the changing culture.
And boy, what a changing culture Milton is. The fastest growing municipality in Canada. And it was really enlightening to see how they are having a secondary church meet on their property and how they are responding to other faiths and other people that are in that ever-changing community of Milton.
Changing, you know, how they deliver church, but not compromising what they believe, not dumbing down the gospel, so to speak.
And that's the thing. If we're going to engage in culture, does that mean that we do kind of become seeker friendly and water it down? No, there are times to be countercultural where we do need to toe that line, but we need to get in proximity to those outside of our Christian circles so that they can get a taste for it.
Right. And that's what I liked about the New Life Church in Milton. They are trying to do that. And it seems to be yielding results.
We're so glad that you joined us for this 2015 recap of Crossing Borders. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to start going through the year. And we can't give enough thanks to some of our advertisers, including Full Gospel Church in St. Catharines. They've been with us since the beginning and a great, great church. If you're anywhere in the Niagara area, I encourage you to go visit Full Gospel Church on Carlton Street between Vine and Niagara.
It was the event that split time in two. This Christmas season is not only the time we celebrate the birth of Jesus, but that through that birth, God put on flesh and entered humanity. No matter how lowly or messy that was, God's heart was to be with and among his people. God loved and cared for you and me so much that he made the first step. Now, how about you? Make your next step this Christmas season to reconnect with God by connecting with his people. The people at Full Gospel Church in St. Catharines may not be perfect, which means they're just like you and me. Real people who God wants to connect with. Service is every Sunday at 10 a.m. For more information, visit fgcniagara.com. That's fgcniagara.com. Full Gospel Church, 376 Carlton Street, between Vine and Niagara, where connecting with each other is not just a slogan, it's what we do.
For families caring for a loved one with an illness, the medical costs can add up fast. You can help with the financial burden when you purchase a t-shirt, but not just any t-shirt, a 26 Shirts t-shirt. 26 Shirts was created to help financially support those who have a family member battling a serious illness. It's the only sports merchandise company founded on the give back model. Here's how it works. Every 2 weeks, a new sports-themed t-shirt is available to buy. Shirts cost $21.95, and $8 of each sale goes directly to a family in need. These are limited edition t-shirts, and once the 2 weeks is up, a new shirt is available to help another family. When you buy a 26 shirt, not only do you represent your favorite hometown Buffalo sports teams, but you are giving back to your community at the same time.
Hi, this is Del Reed. When Buffalonians see a need, they step up to the plate. Help a local family today. Buy this week's limited edition shirt at 26shirts.com. 26 Shirts, changing the game.
Digging deeper and diving in to equip you to build bridges with those around you. This is Crossing Borders.
We are back. If you're looking for a church, you're looking for a place to fellowship with other believers in the Niagara region, go to Full Gospel Church. They'd love to meet you, and I think you'd like to meet them too.
Yeah, you've preached at Full Gospel Church. You've been involved with that congregation, and I've been there preaching with you. You are in the Niagara area, but in my area, I go to a church that's in North Buffalo. It's called Renovation Church, and is pastored by Brett Cockrell. Let's back up for a second, because at the beginning of the year, past just laying the foundation of what our show is going to be about and having Dan Rogge come on to talk about how church is addressing to an ever-changing culture, we wanted to really get into this issue of race and how congregations could be multicultural, but then that got us into a deeper issue. But to get started, we had a guest, Brian Loritz. He wrote the book, Right Color, Wrong Culture, talking about, we're being multicultural, but what is the heart behind it?
The emphasis for us was to move in the direction of racial reconciliation, you know, how we need to react to those things as Christians. And just as importantly, one of the things that came out of that was perspective for me. I tend to compartmentalize my world based on what I see. And it's really easy for me to look at another group and think, well, you're being sensitive, aren't you? You know, when in fact, life is very different for people from different communities, different cultures in North America.
If you're in a church that's in a community and that church does not look like the community surrounding it, then there might be an issue.
You have to ask yourself if you're being effective in reaching the people around you.
Right.
If it doesn't look like the people around you.
Well, Brian Loritz is a name that everybody really recognizes, especially with his father being Crawford Loritz. And being really a church of the community is really what the church that I go to is all about. Renovation Church is really, it was an old Polish Catholic parish, but it really has been a church where the majority of people come from that zip code to that church. So anytime we could go and you could sit at a table and you might have a single white middle-aged mother, a young black male, a family of Puerto Rican sitting at the table with you. So it's really multicultural, but it also gets to the heart of reconciliation. Really, reconciliation was to see from that other perspective. And that is the benefit. If we do not have a multicultural church, then we lose the perspective that we can have from others.
Right. If you don't have any other perspective besides yours, you really just get what you're thinking.
Yeah, you're really limited, right? And talking about having a different perspective, as guys, when we get married, that is an eye-opener.
Boy, is it.
We get a different perspective when we get married. And to be honest, this was one of my favorite shows, Valentine's Weekend. And we had both our lovely wives come in the studio.
We did.
I'm going to be honest. I found a lot of joy turning in my seat a little bit and seeing Rebecca, my wife, and Judy, your wife, share from their hearts and talk about marriage as a ministry.
Look, if we're not ministering to our spouse, we're really missing out on what it is to, you know, be part of that community at its most basic level, you know, the family. If in our families we're not ministering to one another, how are we ever going to be effective to minister to the people around us?
You know what? We talked about how the family really is the breeding and the testing ground for all ministry. If you're going to treat others the way that they should be treated, if you're going to meet each other's needs, what better place for that to happen on a daily basis than within the family? And then that all starts with the marriage.
The funny thing is, I didn't realize how selfish I was until I got married.
And then she told you.
Well, it was kind of self-evident, actually.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, I just assumed certain things. I think I told her, honey, we're moving to Vancouver. We're going to go to seminary out there. That didn't go over well.
It didn't, really.
Oddly enough.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, I thought we had talked about it, and then I realized we didn't talk about it at all. I just thought it.
Yeah.
And just assumed she'd be okay with whatever I said.
Listen, so I imagine that you had to apologize a little bit during that time. And let me apologize to you a little bit. I know that I've ribbed you a little bit on air about being older than me.
I am.
But you know what? When we saw how you guys were with your kids and in your marriage, Rebecca and I said, we want to get to know Mick and Judy because we can glean something off of you guys. You're not that much older, but you're a step ahead in season.
Yeah, one step. We really want to minister to the people that are coming in our steps behind us, not our steps. But because say you're a couple that's just come through that time period of raising teenagers, pass on the information. Don't let everybody reinvent the wheel every time. Mentor somebody.
You know, I don't know how or when this is going to happen, but for 2016, we have got to tackle a topic that we didn't cover in 2015, and that's multi-generational ministry. But what I really appreciate is we've had some older gentlemen that have done some amazing things for the kingdom of God. And one example of that was Terry Law. So Terry Law, you know, he's actually Canadian. And I think he went to Oral Roberts University, and he started out in a singing ministry. And lo and behold, many years later, he has one of the most well-known missions organizations in North America, and really now is focused in the Middle East. So we were talking about ministry in the Middle East into Muslims. Reading his book, it really reads like an action novel where he's flying in on private jets, swirling down to the ground so he'd avoid rockets, so that he could land in Iraq and he could be instrumental in helping get the religious freedom part into their new constitution. And that ministry also ministers to Kurdish refugees fleeing the the Middle Eastern region.
On the note of bringing religious liberty into places like Iraq, we had Charles Hermelink come in and talk about intercultural ministry.
Yeah.
Talk about...
We had him in a couple of times.
Yeah, we did. We did. Actually, you had him in the studio and had him on the phone once. He had really good insight in how we should reach out to the people around us. In particular, Charles has this incredible heart for Muslims, our Muslim neighbors.
No matter where you are, you can teach people to reach out to your neighbors regardless of their background. And that was really his heart that he communicated there. We want to take another break. When we come back, we're going to share one of our very favorite interviews of the whole year. And you'll hear that when we come back.
Is marriage more than just staying together? Focus on the Family Canada and WDCX present Gary Thomas, author of Sacred Marriage. Gary Thomas is a best-selling author of over a dozen books, a frequent guest of Focus on the Family, a featured columnist and speaker at marriage conferences across North America. Now you can experience Gary Thomas live, building a lifelong love.
Hi, this is Gary Thomas. In this conference, we're going to look at how the spiritual principles of our faith can build marital intimacy or rebuild marital intimacy once it's begun to fade.
Discover how to live out a sacred marriage and be part of Gary Thomas's Building a Lifelong Love, coming to the Chapel in Buffalo on Friday, April 15th for a two-hour evening event, and to Toronto on Saturday, April 16th for an eight-hour marriage conference at Church on the Queensway. Joining Gary will be comedian Steve Geyer and in Toronto, author Sheila Ray Gregoire. For all the tour details and tickets, head to funandfaith.ca/Gary Thomas.
The biggest night of the year, New Year's Eve 2015. House of Praise presents Open Heavens, a special celebration service featuring Don Moen, Israel Houghton, Micah Stampley, and Pastor Wale Akinshiku. Ring in the new year with a celebration like no other. Open Heavens, Thursday, December 31st, 8 p.m. at the International Center in Mississauga. Admission is free. For more information, visit openheavenstoronto.com. Open Heavens, brought to you by House of Praise, raising champions, making a difference.
We are not of the world, but we're learning to be in it. Crossing Borders with Mick and Mo starts now.
And welcome back to Crossing Borders. That song you were just listening to is called Hitler's Girlfriend. Boy, you really got to listen to the lyrics. And we got into it with the former frontman of the former group. The group that played that song was Dime Store Prophets. And the frontman for that was Justin Dillon. Now, we had him on the show not to talk about his previous days in music, but what he's doing now in freeing people from slavery.
We talked basically about the slavery footprint, you know, what it takes for us to live the lives we're living. And it wasn't a condemnation kind of thing. It had more to do with you need to understand where your stuff is coming from.
It was an awareness. I mean,
it was.
And you can go to slaveryfootprint.org, and it was really innovative because there's this app at slaveryfootprint.org. You can put in your normal buying habits and the things that you have, and it will give you an estimate of how many slaves from around the world are working for you.
That was an eye-opener for me, and I didn't write it down, but the number of slaves that it takes for me to maintain my lifestyle, my purchasing habits, the way I function was, you know, something like 35. 35 people have to work in substandard conditions at slave wage, if any wage at all, to support my lifestyle. And again, that wasn't a condemnation. It really was just an educational awareness thing. Understand that there are people who, based on our choices, are put in a position of having to, you know, be in a forced labor situation.
Yeah, and you know, that really comes from a heart for justice. And here's what Justin Dillon had to say about that.
I'm a firm believer that we as human beings were made for drama. We were made to insert ourselves in drama. We just happen to live in a time and a place where most of the drama that fills our lives isn't really part of a bigger narrative. Mm. A lot of the things that we insert ourselves in are quite small maybe they're personal issues or maybe there's something with a celebrity or the rest of it. What we're missing, the fact, is that we were made for drama. And those of us who have discretionary time and energy and money take that discretionary, what is left over, and insert it into some of the greater narratives, the greater dramas that exist around us. And we live in a world today that is much smaller than it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. The dramas and the narratives that are happening in places like Syria and Uzbekistan and Cambodia, those are our dramas. And how we choose to insert ourselves into those is really what's going to make our lives more meaningful and more purposeful. Because otherwise, we're going to insert ourselves into more petty dramas and we're going to get out of it what we put into it. I learned about human trafficking and I wanted to do something. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to stab traffickers with scissors. That's what I felt like doing. Because there's that drama. There's that sense of justice where you see that people are exploiting others and you want to stop it. And that is God-given. That is right and it is good. And it needs to have a place to be acted out on. I had to make something, because that's what I do, that matched that sense of indignance and call for justice that was inside of me. And I just kept going with it. The more that I listened to what was inside of me in that call for justice, the more doors would open up. And all of a sudden, you're speaking at the White House or State Department or advising, the UN on global supply chains. If something is drawing you towards justice, you have to listen to it. Here we are living in our worlds where I don't feel guilty for the world I live in. It's the one that God put me in. But I will feel guilty if I don't leverage it to somehow break the injustice and the impunity that these traffickers are able to operate in. And I've got something to contribute to that. I'm a white middle-class kid from the suburbs with two parents who loved me. Why am I so drawn to the music of the oppressed? Because God has written a much bigger narrative in my heart. And it doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter where you came from, we were all meant to insert ourselves into the chaos. And injustice is just one of those, right? So there is slavery in many of the products we use every day, from the cotton in our clothing to coffee in our cups to even the minerals that go into the electronics that we use. We can say that those people's lives who are forced to go down into mines and to go out into fields, we can say that they aren't connected to us. But the reality is every day we walk out of the house with something made with slavery connected to us. It's both depressing and unacceptable. We need a way to be able to take the narrative and make an empowering statement. There is something to be leveraged, and there's a way that we can actually use what we have to be able to benefit others. And so Slavery Footprint was a way to empirically and artistically connect your life to the lives of others. And we did that through a series of analysis and econometricians and all these folks to be able to build a tool that has this beautiful interface that at the very front of it says, do you want to know how many slaves work for you? Meaning that our lives are not possible without the exploitation of others. And knowing and understanding how many slaves work for you, what their lives are like, is actually a very important first step. Because what that says to the world and what it says to traffickers is, I'm willing to understand where I fit in this narrative, and I'm going to leverage it, and I'm going to stop you from exploiting others to provide the things that support my life. It's the first step for everyone is to go to slaveryfootprint.org. And then once you've learned, tell everyone you know that, hey, I've got this many slaves working for me, and I'm going to commit my life to ending it.
So that was Justin Dillon from that interview. Thought we'd give you a little soundbite. He also said that when he first learned about sex trafficking, that he wanted to stab traffickers with
stab
scissors.
Stab them with scissors.
Yeah. So you know what? As an artist and with this heart of justice, he really came in and wanted to bring awareness. And imagine the things that we'd never even think about, like in makeup. There's this mineral called mica. Well, there's people being slaves to dig up this mica in India, or that there's a certain metal that's in our iPhones. Well, he also started this Freedom FRDM software that manufacturers can use to see if all their downlines or their suppliers have anything to do with slavery so that they can weed that out. So he is fighting against slavery.
It's just making people aware of what's going on in the world around them, and approaching these companies, and he's finding them actually responsive, saying things like, do you realize that this is where you're getting your base product? Causing people to understand what they're actually doing is a big step. He's just saying, be an informed consumer.
Right. So we took a break for a week, the middle of March, and you had a good friend to come in.
I did. Dave Austin, a bivocational pastor. While he's a mild-mannered pastor on the weekend, he's actually a work-in-the-world kind of guy during the week. He operates a big rig, a truck. He ministers wherever he is. There's a lot of bivocational pastors out there. It really takes a special mindset to say that not only will I minister the gospel from the pulpit, I'm going to live out my faith, and I'm going to do the things that I preach.
And really, it was a challenge for us to say, hey, who really is the professional Christian? Where is your ministry? Are you considered in ministry if you're behind a pulpit?
We're all called to reach out, to be God's hand extended, and to be able to live amongst the people and demonstrate Jesus' love.
We're in a very dangerous place when we see somebody that loves the Bible and we say, oh, you're going to be a preacher. Well, no, we should all love the Bible and we should all seek to give an answer for the hope which we have and to educate ourselves in the scriptures. Hey, and then right after that, to get back into line, to kind of follow up with the one that we had previously with Justin Dillon on dealing with slavery, we talked to Sarah Hendy that works with Agape International, and she joined us from the other side of the world.
Live
via phone.
And you know, the thing I really appreciate with her, she talked about sex trafficking. She works within that part of the world trying to free people who are trapped in this cycle.
That is a part of their ministry. I think the biggest part of their ministry is really the rehabilitation piece. Agape International is helping to rehabilitate these women and children. Yes, I did say children that were rescued out of sex slavery. Talking about Asia, following that up, we wanted to talk to a gentleman that had a ministry that had to do with Asia also. I met Mervin Medowick from my church back in Memphis, Tennessee. Mervin is actually Canadian, and before I moved to Buffalo, he had already moved to the Toronto area, and that's where he resides today, and he has a ministry to the Sri Lankans.
You know, Sri Lanka has just gone through a long, long civil war. Ministering to the heart of the Sri Lankan people, this gentle attitude. His emphasis was on forgiveness and reconciliation within the Sri Lankan people.
Yeah, when we talk about Mervin Medowick, you got to think about two ministries. One is to the people of Sri Lanka in their country, and that is Love Lanka. But he also has a ministry called SL Forgiven, or Sri Lanka Forgiven. And that really ministers to the two different factions of Sri Lanka, and he brings reconciliation to those two factions in the GTA, or actually in the Ontario region. And really, that is a ministry that we've all been given, is the ministry of reconciliation. That is a part of the gospel.
If we just look at the gospel as saying, bam, I'm reconciled with God, I'm going to heaven, I can die now. And being part of the kingdom means more than just wallowing in our salvation. There's more.
Well, what is salvation?
Well, being reconciled with God.
Right.
Right.
I mean, there's spiritual benefits to it. And then we talk about the gospel, and we talk about, and especially right now, yesterday we celebrated the birth of Jesus. And then we talk about the life of Jesus. And then we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection. And we say that that is the gospel, part of the gospel story. But there is a whole lot more to it, and it takes the whole Bible to tell it.
Beginning to end in the Bible is the story of reconciliation, but it doesn't start with the fall of man and end with the sacrifice of Jesus. The missional part is that once we are part of that, now what do we do?
Well, when we lost the fall of man, it was more than just separation from God. There was more things that happened at that fall of man too, right?
Yeah. You know, here we have the opportunity not only to have our sins forgiven, to be right with God, to be able to have fellowship with God, but to now live as he's called us to live. And he does call us to live. He calls us to do. He calls us to a life of activity, an active participation in his plan.
You know, we're told to be in this world, but not of this world. But we know the next verse says we are sent into this world. It's more missional. We may be in this world, but we're actually first and foremost citizens of a different kingdom.
You know, and that led us to Scott McKnight.
All of these have been really great. I think this is another one that really, really stuck out through the year 2015.
It did, because, you know, when we talk about things like the kingdom of God, what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we throw that term around so loosely sometimes.
So Scott wrote the book Kingdom Conspiracy to talk about heaven. You know, in the Bible, we have the kingdom of God and we have the kingdom of heaven. Well, those different terms mean different things, but what we really got into was, well, the kingdom of God is wherever God rules and reigns supreme.
And when he talks about the kingdom of God, how it relates to the church and its overall mission, I'm here to participate in a kingdom, to be part of God's kingdom.
We are agents of that kingdom.
Yes.
And we are salt and light, and we are given that ministry of reconciliation. We are supposed to be active agents. One thing that I think you're alluding to that he pointed out, that anything that God is going to do on earth, he's going to do through his church. So that interview with Scott McKnight on the book called Kingdom Conspiracy was one that stuck out to us. And listen, we're going to have Scott McKnight back on in the early part of 2016. You're not going to want to miss it. We're going to take a break, but I want to leave you with a quote from Scott McKnight. When we come back, we're going to get more into the middle of 2015.
There has suddenly become a fascination with the word kingdom in another crowd, what I call the skinny jeans crowd. The one thinks very critically about the church. This is a generation. They've discovered that what God is doing in this world is connected to the word justice. Justice is connected to the word social, so they're concerned with social justice. And they see the primary act of God in a progressivist stance toward our culture in getting involved in public acts of justice and social justice making. So that kingdom work now is all about establishing, creating, and fighting for social justice, marginalized group of people or marginalized concern among people that needs to be fought for, and that becomes social justice, and that becomes kingdom work. The pleated pants people tend to focus on the theme of redemption, and so they see the kingdom of God as the breaking in of the redemptive power of God in this world. It tends to be reduced to magnificent, miraculous, redemptive moment. They see kingdom in a redemptive way, but they're talking about salvation. So they're preaching the gospel, and when someone surrenders to Jesus, the kingdom of God has broken through into that person's life. The kingdom is exploding in their life, and now they've surrendered to Jesus as King and God as their Lord. Any kind of talk about the kingdom of God in the Bible that doesn't include redemption and salvation personally and in a holistic manner is not talking about what the kingdom of God means. And I think both sides, the skinny jeans crowd and the pleated pants crowd, I think both of these people have reduced kingdom to one dimension, and as a result, they are not giving the full vision of the kingdom of God. And that's what I do really in the book. Kingdom Conspiracy is an attempt to bring light by studying the Bible between these two perspectives and sometimes critiquing these two perspectives while appreciating the strengths of both of those.
RussellSteaks.com is open for business. This Christmas season, you can do your shopping from the comfort of your home. No traffic, no lines, no crowds. At RussellSteaks.com, you can purchase and print your gift certificates to Buffalo's number one rated restaurant, Russell Steaks Chops and More. If you're looking for the perfect gift, one that offers the best service, the best steak dinner, the best night out altogether, it's Russell's, of course. Give a gift certificate for an exquisite dinner or an overnight package in a jacuzzi suite. Just visit RussellSteaks.com. As an added bonus, for every $100 you spend, Russ Salvatore is giving you a $25 gift certificate that you can use for yourself or include it with your gift. $25 on Russ. Skip the hustle and bustle. Purchase and print your gift certificate to Russell's Steaks, Chops, and More without even having to leave your home. Visit RussellSteaks.com today. That's RussellSteaks.com.
Is marriage more than just staying together? Focus on the Family Canada and WDCX present Gary Thomas, author of Sacred Marriage. Gary Thomas is a best-selling author of over a dozen books, a frequent guest of Focus on the Family, a featured columnist and speaker at marriage conferences across North America. Now you can experience Gary Thomas live, building a lifelong love.
Hi, this is Gary Thomas. In this conference, we're going to look at how the spiritual principles of our faith can build marital intimacy or rebuild marital intimacy once it's begun to fade.
Discover how to live out a sacred marriage and be part of Gary Thomas's Building a Lifelong Love, coming to the Chapel in Buffalo on Friday, April 15th for a two-hour evening event, and to Toronto on Saturday, April 16th for an eight-hour marriage conference at Church on the Queensway. Joining Gary will be comedian Steve Geyer and in Toronto, author Sheila Ray Gregoire. For all the tour details and tickets, head to funandfaith.ca/Gary Thomas.
It's a border crossing you don't mind spending an hour with. Crossing Borders starts now.
God was in Christ and is in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And he's made us his agents of reconciliation. Ain't no space in that for bigotry. Put it back into the gospel and allow that power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead be applied to our racism and our bigotry.
Together, we kind of took the three R's that John started talking about. Relocation is really based on the incarnational ministry of Christ, where Jesus didn't stay in heaven and kept trying to reach us through prophets. Incarnational ministry is that it's no longer us helping them. I'm not some white guy in a black neighborhood helping all these black people. We are working together. It's not us helping them, but it's we working together. We come alongside one another.
Redistribution is how do we put back into the society those valuable things. What people do when we say that, they get upset. They think if they take all the money from the rich and give it to the poor, I tell them that would be the foolishest thing they can do because the rich would have it back tomorrow night. And so what we have to do then is put those most valuable things, love, compassion, a job I would put there at the very head of it, education. The war we are fighting today is a war of redistribution. Real justice is a stewardship issue. Read your Bible. It's how we steward the resources, and if we steward them correctly, he gives more back to the steward because he found a good steward.
Giving opportunities for people to be able to meet their needs again. I think so. We bring back jobs, we bring back restaurants, we bring back medical and doctors. That's really what we're talking about when we talk about redistribution.
Well, they're not getting it. Our gospel got too many holes in it. Our gospel have been captured by the culture. And so we need to free us from the captivity of our culture. We're not talking about socialism, we're not talking about communism. We're talking about a wonderful free market.
And we're basically just talking about fulfilling what Jesus calls the greatest commandment. Christian community development, in its essence, is really all about loving God with everything we have, loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. So when our neighbor has a need, we work to meet that need and to help them with it, helping people to help themselves.
Hey, and that clip that you just heard was from an interview that we did in the middle of April, April 18th, and that was from Wayne Gordon and John Perkins. They're the founders of CCDA, that's Christian Community Development Association, and we had them to come in and talk about their book called Making Neighborhoods Whole and really share the heart of CCDA. And really, Mick, this really gave us a lot of fuel and undergirded us, changed our perspective about a lot of things.
It was a huge perspective shift.
Yeah, and I mean, it really guided a lot of our programming for the rest of the year.
It did, and a lot of this, when you look at every one of the topics that we've covered, it really served to streamline where we were going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much as we've planned this out, a lot of this, what we were shaped by what was being brought.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a missional show, and we need to be informed by Scripture. And it was really interesting how God would take one show and lead into the next.
Yeah, looking at it from our perspective, afterwards you go, wow, that seemed to fit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, before the break, we were talking about Scott McKnight and his book, Kingdom Conspiracy. And then we get into this philosophy of CCDA, where we as agents of the kingdom influence the communities around us.
And become part of the community.
Incarnational living. I mean, when we talk about Jesus coming down to earth, he came and lived amongst us. And the heart of CCDA is putting those in the margins at the center of his concern.
Right. You know, and that leads us to somebody that's been a favorite, and we've come back even just recently.
Yeah, a couple of times. Noel Castellanos.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote a book called When the Cross Meets the Streets. It tells a little bit about his story, but it also digs a little bit more into the philosophy of the Christian Community Development Association.
Well, and again, speaking of that becoming part of the community, you know, that's integral to what they're trying to accomplish. Because if you do it from a perspective of, we will come in and show you how to do this, and we will show you once, and, you know, it becomes a patronizing kind of thing, almost demeaning. You know, we will show you how to do it right.
You know, we use missionary in a good way, but sometimes missionary can have a negative connotation, because it seems like, oh, we're going in as the Savior. And really, God is the Savior. We're coming in to live amongst the people. And it's amazing how when we go to do that, that incarnational living, that they teach us more, and that we are just bringing God into the mix so that he can redeem their circumstances.
Well, and living amongst people and being part of the culture means that we are part of the structure. We're not there to be elevated or to, you know, impart special knowledge, though
right.
It may turn out that way occasionally. The idea is that we, in humility, integrate ourselves into a community and bring Jesus with us as we go.
Yeah, a term that we became familiarized with is the contextualization of the gospel, that the gospel actually can fit different. It doesn't water down, doesn't change, doesn't compromise, but it certainly takes different shapes depending on the culture that it's in. Hey, you know what? Kicking off the 1st of May, we really got into a couple of things that were spiritual disciplines. And you said this was one of your favorite shows.
It really was.
He's become a friend of mine. Both our kids go to school together. And I recently
playing the same soccer team.
Hey, yeah. And I recently went to the movies with a couple of kids, and I invited him along with me, him and his son, and we went and saw Star Wars. And that's Christopher Baldwin. He's a pastor here at the Vine Wesleyan Church, and he came in to talk about a spiritual discipline called prayer.
When we talked actually even before the interview, and one of the things we were talking about just in the lobby was that he had been through a desert experience and basically had prayed himself through that. And when he got to the other side, what he found was that he liked the dependency of needing to have God lead, to have God do what he was doing. And he found that he really wanted to stay in that attitude of the desert where everything was depending on communication and asking God for guidance. He talked about journaling your prayer life, you know, and being deliberate about it. I just appreciated his heart. I appreciated his way of approaching these things. He's not an aggressive person.
No, not at all.
But he's carrying a very strong message.
Yeah, you can tell that he's really in tune with the heart of God. And that is what he really communicated, is that through prayer that we have fellowship with God. And that's how he infuses us with his heart. And we also talked about how prayer actually changes things because we serve a good and living God. So the second week, we talked about another spiritual discipline, and that's praise and worship. But we aired audio that we captured at an event.
Yeah, we were at the Christian Musician Summit and talking to a number of people, Nick Kish being one of them.
Julius Chosen Spencer, as well as Rebecca St. James.
You know what was really nice about that? Even though you're talking to people that have done some pretty spectacular writing, they've done really, really good music, the heart of these folks was one of ministry, was one of completely wanting to be submitted to God, wanted to do what God was calling them to do.
Hey, and you know, you being a musician and a worshiper at heart, this one you really appreciated. And it really shows that this is our practical, very reasonable act of worship, is to sing praises to the Lord.
In the people that I really respect, you know, and I had a chance to talk to some folks there that we didn't get on air, you know, but we had a chance to talk to, you know, musicians that are just, they're renowned, they're spectacular and all this, but their heart is to worship. Their heart is to bring praise to God amongst God's people. And they're doing that in an environment that traditionally has been known as one that's been very self-indulgent, and yet they're doing it with the purpose of pointing people to Jesus. That was really good. We talked with not just musicians. We talked with the organizer of Kingdom Bound, and talked about ministry through the arts.
Matt Gould talking about how, we can use different forms to minister. That, again, is the contextualization of the gospel.
We don't want to just be about big events. We want to be discipling people through the arts. It's music, it's visual media, it's dance and theater and drama and painting and all of those things. All of those mediums provide an incredible outlet for storytelling, and we know the master storyteller was Christ himself. He's told incredible stories that touched people's lives and made them understand what relationship was really about. So if we can utilize the tool of the arts in so many different facets in an excellent way, we want to do it. Let's start with preaching as an art. Teaching is an art. We'll start there, and then we'll expand out. My wife's a music teacher. She's an artist. Not because she's a music teacher, but because she's a teacher. Every pastor that preaches a message on Sunday morning is sharing the art of storytelling through his message. But let's be real. My three kids, who are 13, 12, and 10, that always beg me for my cell phone, in that cell phone is a lot of art. Music, video, internet, all of those things. We better be programming Christ's message to that if we want to reach people. So you can be in denial, or you can really get involved and active and missional about this, and that's really where we want to be as a ministry.
And welcome back. We were talking about spiritual disciplines, getting into the Word of God, and how about prayer, and then also praise and worship. But when we think about the things that we're called to do, you naturally drift to the Great Commission.
The go and make disciples, right? And when we talk about that, Matthew 28, 16 to 20.
Yeah.
The Great Commission.
Read it out for us if you don't mind.
I'd love to. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them.
Your leader that died, resurrected and shows himself to you, spends 40 days, and then he disappears, but he says, meet me here. What would you do?
You also have to keep in mind that these guys had seen some pretty spectacular things over the course of their ministry time with Jesus. So when he says do it, he knows what he's talking about.
So there's this amazing meeting with the resurrected Savior, teacher, rabbi.
Yeah.
And he gives his final words, his calling, before he ascends back into heaven.
It picks up in verse 17. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him. Mm. But some doubted. And Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always.
I love some of the older gentlemen that we've had on this show. One that really sticks out in my mind is Herb Hodges.
Yeah, he was so encouraging. You know, spending time talking about what would Jesus have you do?
Yeah, and you can't walk away from a conversation with Herb without being encouraged. He wrote the book, Tally Ho the Fox. And you know what, Mick, you kind of made a mistake, according to Herb Hodges. You put more, when you were reading that verse. You put the emphasis on the go.
You're right, I did. Because the only specific command in Matthew 28, 19, and 20 is make disciples.
Yeah, mathetousete. You remember that?
I do.
Mathetousete, which means to multiply yourself.
Well, the Great Commission instructs us to make disciples. But while we're going throughout the world and as we're going about our daily business, as we're living life.
And here's what Herb had to say about that to kind of put it in a certain perspective that you can understand.
No, there are three activities. See, there's one major dominant verb in the Great Commission. Then there are three dangling participles that hang on that major verb. Going is not a command, but it takes on the force of a command because you can't make disciples without going. Baptizing is not a command. But it takes on the force of a command because you have nobody to disciple if you don't win them and baptize them. And then the third dangling participle is teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So there are three supporting activities to the major command, going as you're going, then by baptizing them and teaching them, you make disciples who will change the world.
So that was Herb talking about as you go. Right? Living life on purpose, on mission. It's just, he's saying that the Great Commission should be so infused in you That as you live life, that it naturally, that you're intentional and you see these opportunities and it naturally is a part of you to engage in a kingdom mindset.
Absolutely. It should be something that's so woven through the fabric of our being, that mm-hmm. it's so part of us mm-hmm. that we can't help but do it.
In 2016, we are going to revisit some of this discipleship and evangelism, because part of our mission is not only to challenge and encourage you, but also to equip you to engage with culture around you and be salt and light. So, you know, it's interesting that with Herb, you could never count how many people have been impacted by the ministry of Herb Hodges, because he has made disciples that have made more disciples and they made more disciples. That phrase that we've spoken so many times, it comes from Herb, to see the masses through the man, to see everyone else through investing your life into one person. Well, part of, quote unquote, the downline of Herb Hodges was an individual that started a ministry called Downline Ministries. And their whole point is to equip people to be about the Great Commission. We had Shad Berry on. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But there was another organization that has been in ministry for several decades now. And they have been also training people to be about evangelism and discipleship. And that's E3 Partners. Now, E3 Partners, a lot of people will know E3 Partners, or they'll know their other ministry that's underneath them, and that's I Am Second. You know that ministry, right?
Yeah, and we had the singer from Korn,
Brian Head Welch.
Yeah, we listened to a clip, his testimony. And, you know, I love that whole campaign, I Am Second.
I mean, that's where it starts, is giving our testimony, how God changed your life. And what an amazing testimony. We had Danny Mackay, who is the Canadian National Ambassador for I Am Second and E3 Partners. And what an amazing testimony that he shared, where he stole a car and he was on the run.
Yeah.
And he found a Bible in the backseat and got saved.
Just like that.
Amazing. But now he's part of this ministry going into, and they want to have a church within walking distance of everyone on the globe, especially starting in people that haven't been reached. So he goes into areas all around the world, including our own backyards, and trains people how they can not start churches, but really start disciples. And the churches will come. So part of that starts out with looking for the person of peace, or looking for an opportunity that people would receive. And here's what Danny had to say about that.
I think we should be intentional. We should be, you know, looking at who do we know in our life that is far from God, and begin to pray for them regularly and look for opportunities to engage them. You know, Jesus said, when you enter a village, look for a worthy person. And when you find them, stay with them, eat with them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cure the lepers, and tell them that the kingdom of heaven has come near. He seemed to be saying, when you enter, like, be looking. You know, when you go to work, be watchful. When you go to school, be watchful. When you go to the Walmart, when you go get gas, wherever you're going, be watchful, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And they're all around us, people that are hungry. I remember just a little bit ago, I walked into a Starbucks, and there was only one chair open in the whole place. And the lady turned to me, and she said, you're welcome to sit here. I'm just working. So I sat down, and I just knew this is probably a divine appointment. And so I just simply asked her, so what do you do? And she said, I'm a wedding planner. And she said, what about you? And I said, well, I try to help people all around the world who are far from God be not far from God. And she said, wow. She said, that's interesting. And I said, yeah. I said, listen, what can I pray for you? You know, if God could do a miracle in your life, what would it be? She started to cry when I asked her the miracle question. And she said, I can't believe you're asking me that today. And she said, just this morning, I prayed for the very first time. And I asked God for a miracle. Her dad was going through some real heavy physical and mental struggles, and it was really weighing on her. And so she began to get really emotional, and she said, I think he's real, because I think he answered that prayer. I mean, obviously, I was able to share with her very openly, and she received Christ right there. And I thought to myself after that encounter, and man, how many times have I just burned into a Starbucks and then grabbed my coffee and then left? You know, but there, right around me, was a woman who had prayed for the very first time to God that morning and had asked God to help.
That was a word from Danny Mackay about looking for those opportunities. And we wanted to challenge you throughout this year to look for ways to get outside of your personal boundaries and comfort zones and engage with your neighbor, to engage with people and look for those opportunities to share the gospel. And I know that that might be intimidating, but perfect love casts out fear. Now, who communicates that love? Who imparts and who is active in our life? That is God, but that's God through the Holy Spirit.
We had a guest on. His name was Darren Wilson, and he talked about God moving and working through his Holy Spirit through his church. And he did actually some things that you wouldn't advise unless you were led by him to do that.
We're talking about an individual that stepped out to make a whole movie led by the Holy Spirit. And what we really gained out of that conversation with him was that God is real, active, and alive. And he can speak to you and he can lead you.
One of the things he said was that as he was growing up, he had a concept of God, but not a relationship. During that interview, we had Jim Wright sitting in, and he talked about Pentecost.
That's when we had that interview with Darren Wilson on to coincide with Pentecost Sunday. And that's the day that we celebrate all the way back to Acts chapter 2, the birth of the church, where the Holy Spirit empowered people to reach out, to evangelize, to gospel, to go to the ends of the earth and to spread the message and to bring more people into the kingdom.
As we've already stated, the Bible is a book filled with stories about God and his relationship with his creation. These stories don't just tell a story. That's not just the point, right? They show the character of God with his and in his interactions with his children.
Yeah.
They show his relationship with us.
Listen, we got to put a close on this show. So hard to recap 2015. We're going to make it two shows, okay?
I think we have to.
So next week, January 2nd, we are recording the second half of 2015. We want you to dig in with us and celebrate all the guests that we had on and what God has done through the show. He's been teaching us just like you, and we're expecting 2016 to be just as awesome. So tune in next week, next Saturday, January 2nd from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Hey, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. I'm Michael O'Hara.
And I'm Mick Curtis.
Hey, to leave you off with a great song about being engaged with the culture around you, here's Nick Kish with Won't You Be My Love.
He keeps looking for his face.